broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's really quiet because we're not used to it. We're living in such a small town.
Except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States.
Actually, Obama.
I appreciate that his intentions, and I don't doubt that he's well in.
Taking paws off.
You son of a bitch.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows cannot go. A UFC fighter wants to kick the president's ass, so the tease says. Roger Ebert tweets the N-word, plus what company do you absolutely despise? Is it Best Buy? Is it Nokia? Maybe it's none of these companies. Maybe it's just a bunch of pains in the ass that wanted to put a list together of companies that they think Americans despise. Well, we'll find out. But that's what's coming up here in our news hour. And really, the first story that's of note, I think, is this guy, this Jacob Volkmann, who I'm sure there's all kinds of men, primarily, who get off on watching this guy go into the ring and beat the crap out of people. He is a UFC champion, Ultimate Fighting Championship fighter. I don't know, he's a lightweight. I don't know whether this guy has won championships, but he is a UFC lightweight. He's had 125 wins over Antonio McKee. Has he had 125 wins over the same guy, or is that UFC 125? Is that the name of his division? I guess we'll wait on the answer for that one. His words got him into a little bit of trouble on Tuesday, because what happened was the Secret Service visited him. He apparently had made some statements that Obama, he disagreed with Obama, and that he was going to go and fight the president. After defeating McKee, Volkmann was asked who he would like to fight next. He said first Clay Guida, who's another fighter in UFC. Then he said, actually, Obama, he's not too bright. Someone needs to knock some sense into that idiot. I just don't like what Barack is doing. Now, this is a guy who is, he claims to be a coach. And regardless of what you think of President Obama, it could be anybody. It could be President Bush. Regardless of what you think of these people, to say you want to, and you could call him an idiot, I guess. I watched enough CNN listening to that jackass Pagalia calling Bush an idiot to know that I guess you can call presidents names. That's fine. It's not the classiest way to go about things. But hey, however, threatening to do violence to them, even if you think they're kidding or not, is against the law if you are serious. Now, if you're serious, here's what this guy said. And, of course, he didn't apologize because, well, he's the UFC lightweight heavy ass. So, you know, he don't apologize to nobody, I'm sure. And just so you know, UFC fighters are tough guys. They are tough dudes. They perform in almost a caged ring. And they use every kind of martial art. They use the roundhouse kicks and punches of karate and taekwondo. They use regular boxing stances and you know, punch as pugilists would. They do some Thai kickboxing. They do it all. And they use wrestling moves as well. So they are, this is why they call it Ultimate Fighting. They also are barefisted. They are barefoot. So this is some hard-ass entertainment. And there's a lot of guys that like to watch it. I think it's interesting sometimes. However, one thing they don't do, as far as I know, is they don't stop bullets. So they're mortal. And the Secret Service, knowing that, paid a visit to this guy and said, well, Mr. Volkmann? He said, yeah? They said, well, you said that you wanted to kick the president's ass. Now, the only side of this that we have is Volkmann's side. That's why, once again, we're relying on incomplete news. But the only side we have of this is Volkmann's side. And he was asked by the Secret Service, he says, did he threaten to kick the president's ass? And then he says that the Secret Service guy said he was embarrassed to be there. He said, this is Volkmann again making these claims, he actually apologized for coming. He wanted to make sure I wasn't going to go to D.C. to hurt the president. And I believe that. They probably said, we're sorry to bother you. I don't know if they said they're embarrassed to be there or not. Now, Volkmann goes on to say, the thing is, I got home and I checked my email. I had about 20 emails, and one of the ladies had actually contacted the FBI. So this woman had said that she heard Volkmann say he wanted to, you know, knock some sense into President Barack Obama. Now, there's a lot of people, and we'll play the audio for you, and then we'll get into why it is that these laws are made and why it is that they're important. But there are a lot of people out there that are not aware of why you can't threaten the president. They think it's just some candy-ass law that infringes on their freedom of speech or something. Here is, in an interview with the MMAFFighting.com, UFC lightweight Jacob Volkman asked who he'd like to fight next.
I don't know. Actually, Obama.
Wow, you're calling out a Barack Obama right now. That's pretty big.
He's not too bright. He made a lot of like the make it home affordable plan and then his health care plan. Someone's got to knock some sense into that idiot.
Wow. Are you a Sarah Palin fan? Please say no.
No. Okay. No, I just don't like what Barack was doing. Because I'm a chiropractor, so I know the health care situation is not good, but he's making it worse.
Yeah, you sound bright,
man. Most I've ever seen you fired up.
Yeah, it's irritating.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's also, you know, he's going to get a visit from the Secret Service. Wow, you're calling out Barack, huh? All right, so why does the Secret Service go to interview guys like that? It's because that within the lifespan of myself and others, we had a president murdered, John Kennedy. Before that, I think you could probably say anything you wanted about a president. I'm not sure. It would probably have gotten the interest of the Secret Service anyway, but it became a federal offense to kill the president after Kennedy was killed. Did you believe that before Kennedy was killed, it was not? It was handled as a local matter. John Kennedy's murder, William McKinley, Abraham Lincoln, these were all handled as local matters. Now, in the case of Lincoln, it was at a point in the development of police that the Washington, D.C. police needed help. So they called New York, and they brought down some New York detectives to help them investigate this. But there wasn't any FBI, and there was a military, and there was a very, very proficient, for its day, Bureau of Detectives in New York City, and that's who were called to help the Washington, D.C. police. I don't know about Garfield or McKinley, but by the time Kennedy was killed, it was still a local matter. The Dallas PD had it. And the Dallas PD, quite frankly, were it today, they would have butchered it beyond belief. I mean, what the Dallas PD did, and one of the reasons why we have Miranda is the way that suspects were treated. You have to understand something. They got this guy Oswald, and then after they got done talking to him, they dragged him in front of reporters. So they had Oswald standing there with three or four cops on either side and all these reporters going, "Hey, man, hey, what is that? Hey, you know. Here's our suspect. Here he is." Almost as if to say this is the guy who's guilty. Oswald was saying over and over and over again, "I need a lawyer. Can someone call me a lawyer? I need a lawyer. Can someone call me a lawyer? Is there a lawyer somewhere that will help me? I need a lawyer." He said it over and over and over again. Because this was pre-Miranda. Nobody said to him, "You have a right to an attorney." He knew he had the right to an attorney. And he also probably knew that he didn't have to answer questions. But nonetheless, the Dallas police prejudiced this thing from the gate. Then comes the shooting of Oswald in the garage. And the whole thing was such a cluster, you know what, that the murder of the president became a federal offense. So today, and God forbid it should happen ever again, the death of a president, the murder of a president, is strictly a federal matter. It's an FBI matter. That's that. Doesn't matter where it takes place. Number two, the threatening of bodily harm to a president became a violation of the law, because before Kennedy got into Dallas, there were all kinds of death threats and verbal and otherwise threats issued because he was really, really not liked by some people in this country, as you can well imagine. Kennedy was hated as much as Barack Obama is today by some people. And Obama, you know damn well, is hated by a lot of people. Kennedy, same thing. Okay, so these laws came about as the result of Kennedy's death. In the weeks and the months and the days that followed the assassination of Kennedy, the Warren Commission and so forth, all this stuff came up, you know.
Well, I mean, like, who's going to, you said that the FBI looked at it?
Yeah.
It's the FBI. That's the FBI's purview. Anything that happens to the president, yes, the federal police. So it's no longer a local matter.
What do you mean you can't threaten or anything?
Well, you can't say, "I want to kick the president's ass." The Secret Service is going to go, "Well, okay, wait a second. Is he serious? Is he not? Let's go talk to him." The last thing the Secret Service wants is for a president to get harmed, because that's their job. Their job is to not have that happen. The last time it happened was in 1963. So that's 47 years ago. And they are 48 years ago now, and they don't want it to happen again. And contrary to the book written by that stupid ass, I don't know who that guy was that wrote that freaking book about how they, well, boy, the Secret Service has never been in a worse place. Let me tell you something, dumbass. The Secret Service has never been more on top of it, man. Never more on top of it. Because if you think those guys don't get it, and then this guy comes up with the line about how they're not motivated. Are you kidding me or something? What kind of... Ronald Kessler. Boy, you talk about a book that came and went. I mean, came and went. Motivated? Are you out of your mind? They got a black president for the first time in history. You think there's maybe one or two guys in the Secret Service thinking that this guy could be a target? Gee. You've got, within the lifetime of many Americans, already an assassinated president. You think they're motivated by that? You think they figure it can't happen? Give me a break. You know, I thank God that I'm as smart as I am, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, you figure everything out.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have to read that guy's book.
What did that guy say?
It's not even worth repeating. So that's why we have those laws, and that's why Jacob Volkman was visited by the Secret Service, and that's why, and you could hear him, he sounds like kind of a stupid ass, like, you know, he may be a chiropractor, but it sounds like he went to probably chiropractic school in Minnesota. I'm kidding. So we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Roger Ebert says that he should have shut up talking about the Huck Finn thing. Why? 877-876-PHIL. We'll tell you why when we come back. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have Bud Dickman here, and we also have Robert Leonard on the line with us. Roger Ebert, you know who he is?
That's the guy, his face is like caved in.
No, not caved in. He don't have no, like, the lower part of his face caved in.
His face isn't caved in. He doesn't have a jaw.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was surgery that was a resultant of cancer, and he decided that he just wouldn't have a lower jaw. The guy looks really weird. We talked about that. Some people think, oh, gee, Phil, that's really cruel of you. No, it isn't. If you can afford to have this kind of surgery, why not have that kind of surgery? Why are you forcing people to deal with your messed up kisser because you just want everybody to take you on your own I don't know. It bothers me, you know.
Well, if the guy's face caved in, you got to do something about it.
It's not caved in. Why do you guys keep saying that?
It looks like it.
Well, it may look like it, but it, in any event, Roger Ebert said, or he can't speak, tweeted or wrote some stupid crap. Now, a coming edition of Mark Twain's work, what work are we talking about? Huckleberry Finn and the Adventures of Tom Sawyer into a single volume will omit racially sensitive language like the N-word and the word engine when it will which it will replace with the word slave. The news of the new edition set off a flurry of debate, and film critic Roger Ebert landed in some hot water from his fans. Ebert has backed away from his controversial use of the N-word on Twitter after jumping into a literary language debate on Wednesday. The film critic responded to the controversy about censored words in this new edition of The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by tweeting Wednesday, "I'd rather be called an N-word than a slave." But following responses from Twitter followers, Ebert backed off on Thursday. "I'll never be called an N-word or a slave," he tweeted, "so I should have shut the F up." So he got in the N-word, he got in slave, he got in the F-word, and...
Yeah, for guy's got a caved-in face.
And he's got a caved-in face. So he did a real good job. So thank you, Roger Ebert, for confusing the issue, you dumbass. The issue is a new book, a coming edition of Mark Twain's work, Huckleberry Finn and the Adventures of Tom Sawyer, that's going to eliminate these words because they're offensive. Now, where do you get off mucking around with somebody's work? Where do you get off taking a book that was written by someone and changing the words? It pisses off people. If you don't think the book is suitable for children, don't put it in the library. If you don't think the book is suitable for human beings, don't put them in. We can have that debate. But don't tell me you think the book is valuable. If we just change this and we just change that. I said this last night, and I'm going to say it again. This generation of Americans, it breaks all records for arrogance. I've never seen a group of human beings in America that thought more glowingly of themselves and had less reason to.
Well, yeah, but you say except the soldiers.
Yes, except the soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq, who are the greatest Americans we have, and they happen to be over there. We could use them here. I've never seen anything like it. From the stupid parents that we have, to the leaders in our country, to the business people washing their hands of any responsibility for this economic disaster, to the people that kiss their rear ends and prop them up, to all the Obama bashers, all the Bush bashers, all of the Michael Moores, every stupid ass that you could possibly think of, we add now to the mix people who think they're going to take the works of Mark Twain, a guy who I can assure you, folks, because I've read about Mark Twain, I know his life pretty well, I believe I know the man, and I can assure you, were he here, he would, what are the words of Al Pacino in that movie? He'd take a flamethrower to the place. Mark Twain had no patience for stupid people. He had no patience for stupid people. He is known to have written a letter, as a matter of fact, to a sales pitch that he got in the mail. And the letter's very funny. I can't quote it. But he basically says to the guy, "Thank you very much, sir. You now break all records for the stupidity that I've encountered in my life. You are number one." Something along those lines. But here we have now educators in this country. And I don't know who to blame. Are they the parents? The parents who, some of these parents, you wonder whether or not English, you know, and I mean they're born in America, you wonder whether English is their first language anyway. So are the schools reacting to pressure from parents that don't have enough brains to know when to take the dog out? Are the parents allowing schools to do things that they should weigh in a little bit more on? I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that this is the height of art crime, if you want to call it something. This is the height of arrogant intellectual criminality to take a book by a renowned author, one of our own, Mark Twain. You know, we've got a few of them. Herman Melville, Walt Whitman, Longfellow. Is he American? I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Thanks. Hemingway, Kerouac, Ayn Rand. You know, we have the greats, and we deign to take their work and change it? Well, that's what's going on. Here is Alan Gribben. He tells the Today Show the intent of the book without the use of the N-word. Get that thing
especially
out of here.
For the younger reader, when the student is looking at five instances of this offensive word on the page.
Oh, God, listen to this ass.
Remember, Mark Twain didn't really mean this, and you have to understand the concept of irony. I think it spoils a lot of the reading experience.
I can't listen to this ass. Here he is again.
It won't be for everyone, but I am convinced.
Thank you. Here is WVUA-TV. You can't. They spoke to local teachers and a librarian.
History is history. You cannot rewrite history. There are things that have happened in history that are very bad, very unpleasant. We can't change it.
Consequences could be that the intent that writers such as Twain was trying to make will be lost.
All right, here is Mark Lamont Hill, who is a professor of urban studies at Columbia.
I appreciate that his intentions, and I don't doubt that he's well-intentioned. The problem is, while he's trying to expand readership for the book, when you take out the N-word, it's no longer the book. So much of this book is about the N-word. So much of this book is about how people are navigating race in this historical moment.
Yes.
Of course, the book's bigger than that. It's about loss. It's about estrangement. It's about death. It's about sorrow. But it's also about race. And to take that out is to deny students and teachers the opportunity to talk about something really important.
Absolutely. What he said there, very important. How did we navigate race at this particular time in history when Twain was writing? That's the context that we talk about. Not just the book. When you take a book off a shelf and you say, oh, this is an interesting book, let me read this. You also need to understand the context of the times. All right, coming up, we have, that's all I have to say about that.
I don't understand about context.
You don't understand about context. Look it up, okay?
Let me look up N-word, too.
Yeah, you look up N-word. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, what companies do you absolutely despise? Is it Nokia? Is it Bank of America? We'll tell you the most hated companies in America. If you can believe this, we have a list of these. When we come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com, if you want to go and check out what there is to check out. I mean, we have podcasts. We've got live streaming video, live streaming audio. We have our archives, thousands of hours of archives. We've just made another month downloadable. Just got that up on the website today. And so there isn't an inch, not a square inch, not a nanosecond of this radio show that has been performed that we do not have now available to you on our website. So, or we'll soon have available to you on our website. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. I just realized I just said, check it out, you know?
Yeah, you go check it out, man. Like, yeah, you got to be more, I think, formal.
Yeah, you know, say check it out. It makes you sound like you... playing a disc jockey or something.
Are you guys serious?
Yeah, no, you don't want to be sloppy and everything.
Dora, come off like a sloppy.
What do you mean sloppy? I just went check it out. I don't know. It's just I reverted back to some radio announcer vibe or something.
Well, that's just it. You went. You puked.
Yeah, it didn't pukey.
What do you mean pukey? I didn't go check it out. I said check it out. So check it out, or I'm going to give you something to check out.
Yeah, that's sexual harassment.
Get out of here, will you? 10 most hated companies in America. Some of the companies on this list were once among the most beloved companies in America. However, or at least most respected, however, times have changed. Yes, they have. Now, let me give you an example of companies like Best Buy. They were once a beloved company. Johnson & Johnson. Who makes the baby oil? You got it. Johnson & Johnson.
I don't know about that. What do you mean baby oil?
Yeah.
They made Johnson & Johnson baby oil, man. You know, just trust me. Well, these companies have now made the list of the most hated companies in America. This is according to 24/7 Wall Street. Now, how did these companies that were mentioned in this dubious honor, how did they suddenly go from being beloved to hated? This list was compiled based on scores in six areas. According to 24/7 Wall Street, those doing the rankings examined the following things. They examined employee opinions based upon Glassdoor.com, and they helped out in the research, Glassdoor.com, employee opinions. They also took into consideration shareholder return. The total returns to stakeholders was compared to other companies. Consumer satisfaction, always important. Consulted were research reports ranging from J.D. Power & Associates. I just got a J.D. Power & Associates deal for my car.
Yeah, yeah, fill it out.
Yeah, I'm going to fill it out. Of course I'm going to fill it out. Companies rely on that. I'd be happy to fill it out, and I will give Jaguar a glowing report.
Well, man, why would you do that? What if you don't know if your car is going to blow up.
What, do you want me to wait till it blows up before I send a report back to J.D. Power?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, that's stupid.
All right. I'm going to fill it out based upon the experience that I've had thus far. My car could blow up.
Well, you don't know.
No, I don't know, man, but I'm not going to wait around for it to blow up before I... Oh, you know what, Jaguar? My car blew up, so can I have my J.D. Power & Associate report back? In any event, consumer satisfaction. Then we come to brand equity. Those who compiled the report check to see if the value of the brand... as measured by data from companies such as Core Brand, Interbrand, and Brandzy, had declined. What do we mean by brand? The value of the brand. Heinz 57. You know, you see that brand? Nike. You know that brand? All right. Media coverage. There was an analysis of media coverage conducted in-house by 27/4 Wall Street. Additionally, the Flame Index. Boy, that's a misfortune. If ever, that's not a very well-named
It's the main thing that people on being gay.
No, not being gay. But anyway, Flame Index, which analyzes, yes, how many homosexuals? No, Flame Index, which analyzes a cache of over 12,000 websites to determine the frequency of certain negative keywords. Okay, thank you for that, because that didn't make any sense. Perception of influencers. They included the way in which these firms were viewed by taxpayers, Congress, and the White House. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen, for the 10 most hated companies in America? And we just gave you, and this is going to be a very interesting list. Number 10, the Dish Network.
Why?
The Dish Network, the 10th most hated company in America. Dish Network recently received unusually poor ratings from the MSN Zogby customer service poll. 31.2% of those familiar with Dish Network service called it poor. Consumers were particularly upset with what they view as surprise fees from Dish Network. Glassdoor research shows that the company has a terrible reputation among employees and that the company's CEO, Charlie Ergen, is held in particular low regard with a mere 22% approval among surveyed employees. Dish Network stock has significantly underperformed in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Dish Network. And you know what's interesting about that? We moved into a house where we had no, there was no cable service, so we had to get satellite service at one point.
Yeah, you say, did you go to Dish?
Well, you know what? We considered the Dish Network. And the only thing that kept me away from Dish Network is I wanted the NFL package, and DirecTV has that.
Yeah, that'd be my reason.
Well, that's why I got DirecTV. Dish Network has not, and in all that time, you would think, you know, you're not going to have a monopoly. People want an option, but look at that. DirecTV kicks their ass. Number nine, what's the ninth most hated company in America? Dell. Dell's electronics store performs worse than nearly every other online retailer. Its ratings and recent Consumer Reports research were abysmal. Its laptop reliability ranks last based on frequency of repairs needed and other serious problems. Dell also experienced much negative press about charges brought against it by the federal government, which covered accounting misstatements and other business violations. Recently, the New York Times reported that Dell sold defective PCs even though a number of its employees were aware of the problem. Dell's shares substantially underperform in the Dow Jones Industrial Average over the last year. Dell. And to be fair, though, I will tell you that we have Dell computers here, don't we?
Yeah, you better not say that. People hate it.
What do you mean people hate it? We have Dell computers, and I have to say the desktops that we have are good. However, you know, perception, baby, perception. All right, the number eight most hated company in America, maybe this doesn't come as a surprise at all, Bank of America. Bank of America has a legion of reasons to be included among the most hated companies in America. It received one of the lowest scores in a recent Zogby MSN customer satisfaction poll. It was rated as the worst bank to poor customer service. Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. It was rated the worst bank in the poll. Many consumers complained about high fees, though this was a common response to many other financial services firms. Bank of America also has received large amounts of negative press. There's a great deal of resentment among the public because of the bank's bailout. In addition, there is Bank of America's participation in mortgage robo-signing activity. Boy, I'll tell you, that has destroyed the reputation of more than one bank. That whole bullcrap mortgage, you know, modification program, give me a break. A practice that rubber-stamped home loan documents to allegedly short-circuit the foreclosure process. Bank of America recently settled with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with a $2.8 billion payment to cover bad mortgages sold to the agencies by one of the bank's operations. Bank of America's stock has significantly underperformed its rivals, certainly disappointing its investors. Number eight most hated company in America, B of A.
You go to B of A, don't you?
Yes, I do. Bank of America is my bank. Bank of America is my bank, and I have my home mortgage through Bank of America. I've had four home mortgages through Bank of America.
Why do you do that?
And our business accounts are with Bank of America. I've been with B of A for a long time, and what I need from a bank, they cover very well, okay? Fortunately, we're not going through any kind of loan modification. We're not getting foreclosed on. So I have not run into the problems that some people have, you know, knock wood. And if you don't have a problem, Bank of America is fine. But I will tell you this much. There have been times I walked in there and I've been upset about some things. It might have something to do with, oh, I don't know, a bounce check or something. And boy, they can really cop the attitude with you real fast. Not to mention the fact setting up certain merchant accounts. You know, it used to be, last year was really easy for us when we set up our merchant accounts for some of the things we're doing on the website, right?
Yeah.
This year, all of a sudden, there is no help. No help. We had to go to the, what the hell do you call it, man? To the basic merchant that we were using, because B of A wouldn't give us any help at all. B of A was where the merchant account, well, anyway, I don't want to go through a whole big thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. All right, so the number eight company is Bank of America. Number seven most hated company in America. Number seven, AT&T. Where do you have your cell service, huh? Don't tell me. AT&T has received a great deal of negative press for its poor 3G service. That is not Ma Bell's only problem, though. Independent research on customer satisfaction rates AT&T as poor. Consumer Reports recently reported that AT&T was the nation's worst cell phone service provider, receiving a poor rating in all service categories other than texting. No other service provider was given a single poor rating. AT&T also receives the lowest mark among cell phone companies in ChangeWave Research's survey of over 4,000 consumers. So AT&T, and that is a, you know, that's our wireless, a lot of people's wireless company. They suck. The sixth most hated company in America is Citigroup. Citigroup fell at the low end of a number of customer satisfaction surveys, even among banks, which generally perform poorly. It received particularly bad ratings from Zogby and the American Customer Satisfaction Index. The bank's reputation has been hurt by employee discrimination suits. Oh, yeah, that helps. Especially one which contends that the bank used the recession as an excuse to fire women.
Uh-oh.
Citi's image was also tarnished by the large amount of money that it received as part of the bailout, which was the most given to any other bank. Wow. Number five most hated company in America, Charter Communications. Charter Communications, aren't they a...
Yeah, they do a lot of, like, cable.
Cable company. I'm surprised that we haven't seen more cable companies. Charter Communications received the lowest score given to any ranked company in the 2010 American Customer Satisfaction Index, a 60 to a 100. I don't know what that means. That's the lowest ranked, the lowest score given to any ranked company in customer satisfaction. The company has long been plagued by customer complaints, often regarding improper billing practices and poor customer service. Charter has angered investors as well. The company filed for bankruptcy in late 2009, destroying the value of the stock. How can you not make money, even in the middle of a recession, how can you not make money with a communication company? What are people doing today more than anything else? They're using their bloody cell phones, they're watching their televisions, they're listening, and they're viewing their cable TV, they're listening to their radios. Can you believe, in the middle of a recession, of all the companies that we'd be doing poorly, communications, broadcast, all of these companies are on their ass. That means one thing and one thing only, the jackballs that run them haven't got a clue. Number four, most hated company in America, Best Buy. Now, that's tough to believe.
Yeah, I love Best Buy. Go and get all the games there.
Well, Best Buy rates low on several surveys for both its bricks-and-mortar stores and its e-commerce site. Recent research by both the Consumerist and Consumer Reports gave Best Buy among their lowest rankings. According to Consumer Reports, in their December 2010 electronic store ratings, Best Buy ranked as the third worst bricks and mortar store, meaning the actual physical plant. And BestBuy.com was designated as the worst online store. Best Buy has disappointed Wall Street recently by missing earnings forecasts. This is number four. Its shares are down more than 10% during the last year, which is below the DJIA, that is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and stocks in its peer group. So that is Best Buy. I tell you what, let's take a break and we'll get to the top three, huh?
What are they?
I'm not going to tell you what they... grab the thing.
I don't want... Don't tell me yet.
We'll give you the top three worst companies, most hated companies in America when we come back here. Which company is the most hated one in this country? Is it your favorite company? I don't know. What is it? Is it an airline? Is it a bricks and mortar store? Is it a bank? We'll find out. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we got the three most hated companies in America. Remember, we were listing the top 10 most hated companies in America, starting with number 10. And just to give you a recap, number 10, the Dish Network. You ready for that? The Dish Network, the 10th most hated. Hated! And when I say hated, we're talking about lousy customer satisfaction, public perception, stock performance, shareholder opinion, opinion of the CEOs. So this is employee opinion, stockholder opinion, the consumer experience, the price on the Dow Jones. All of these things and more figure into how companies are perceived. And the Dish Network is number 10. Number 9 is Dell, the maker of computers, et cetera, and electronics. Number 8, Bank of America. Number 7 is AT&T. Number 6 is Citigroup. Number 5, Charter Communications, which was just reviled by its customers. Just they hate Charter Communications. And we went up to number 4, Best Buy, which was a surprise to me. The number 3 most hated company in America, Toyota.
They ain't even American.
No, that's true. They're not. How'd that work out?
I don't know. How to be the most hated company? Well, they don't have to be an American company.
Yeah, they're the third most hated company in America is a Japanese company, Toyota. They were known for 30 years in the United States for a liability that surpassed any domestic competitor. The automaker's reputation was tarnished by defect-related accidents, lawsuits, and an $8.8 million vehicle recall, baby. Because of this bad press, Toyota's U.S. market share have dropped from 18% in 2009 to 15.5% in 2010. Boy, that's not much of a drop, is it? In the middle of a recession?
I don't think so.
In the J.D. Power 2010 Automotive Performance Execution and Layout Survey, Toyota received the worst possible marks in comfort, style, and overall performance and design. Wow. Wow. The third most hated company in America. The second most hated company in America, Nokia.
That's another Japanese company.
Right. So isn't this nice? Two Japanese companies. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a trifecta here, and it won't be all Americans that suck. Although it's the world's largest cell phone company, Nokia's reputation for the quality of its smartphones is in tatters. The company received the worst possible grades in J.D. Power's 2010 mobile phone and smartphone ratings for customer satisfaction, for physical design, ease of operation, and overall satisfaction. The only smartphone company with worse scores was Palm. Didn't you got a Palm Pilot?
Not so she'd notice.
Get out of here.
You got a rosy Palm Pilot.
Shut up, man.
Will you guys shut up and let me finish? Because I ain't got enough time here. All right, Palm, the only company with worse score, Rosy Palm Pilot. Anyway, according to the recent Brandwatch study, Nokia received the third greatest amount of bad press on Twitter. In BrandZ's annual rankings, the Nokia name has lost 58% of its value in the last year. Shares of Nokia dropped 20% in 2010. You can't half-ass it. Some of these guys think, oh, well, we're in the high-tech business, man. Everybody wants this, that, this, that. You running around half-assing it, man. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, here is the number one most suck-ass company in the history of the planet. Well, not in the history. This is the most hated. Here, I wish I had some music or something. The most hated company. Get out of here with the Mexican music. The most hated company in America, American Airlines. Yeah! Now, I have to tell you, American Airlines, call me crazy. I never had a bad experience with American Airlines. I've always enjoyed flying American Airlines. However, the American people, the American consumer has spoken. American Airlines made the list because of its dreadful customer service ratings and its poor on-time departure track record. These scores are surprising, given that American is one of only a few large U.S. airlines that has not been involved in a merger or alliance, transactions that often lead to, people not thinking the company is performing as well. Poor customer service. American stock has underperformed most of its peers during the last year. According to Glassdoor, only 36% of surveyed employees approve of CEO Gerard Arpey. They don't like his name, especially.
Yeah, I don't.
Take out the R.
Gerard Apey. Anyway, American Airlines received a score of 63 on the American Consumer Satisfaction Index, the ninth worst rating in 2010 out of 181 ranked companies. Wow. In the 2010 Travel and Leisure Survey of Best and Worst Airlines for Delays, American was the worst large national carrier. American Airlines, the most hated? Well, there you have it, folks. The most hated companies in America. See, we are getting to the point, aren't we? We aren't just blaming it all on the government. We recognize what's going on here. We recognize that there is a shift in attitude and an awareness among American consumers. Companies, the engines of industry, are failing us. So we need good people, man. And we need Americans taking math and science, man. We need a math and science masters from America, and we ain't got them. So, Bud, work on that.
All right.
Our producer is Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Charles Wagon. Our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. PhilHenryShow.com, baby. And we will keep plugging away and plugging away and plugging away until we achieve world dominance. See you tomorrow night.
Phil Hendry.